It's time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campomanosi, president of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus, the gas station with the super state-of-the-art car wash. And good morning, Dr. Lou.
Well, good morning right to you. It's a beautiful morning, and I hope everyone's enjoying the sunshine and pretty weather.
Yes,
for
indeed.
A change. Mm-hmm. Not bad. Well, listen, we've got an important guest coming on, Jim Ziegler. He'll be on in about 10:20. But before we get to Jim, I want to talk about a couple of different things, including critical race theory, which I'll get to in a second, okay? But first of all, let's just kind of look at what happened on the border, okay? We had Vice President Harris going down to the border, except she didn't go to the border. She went to get photo ops with staff members. She did all these kinds of things. She didn't even go to the right place, okay? She didn't go to the Rio Grande Valley, which is the central focus of the problem, okay? She went to El Paso. So let's understand why she did this. Number one, the Democrats don't want any real big photo op in terms of seeing all these people come across the river. That's bad for them. So she had to avoid going down to the central place of where everything is really bad. Let's understand that. But number two, listen to some of the things that she said afterwards, okay? It's a continuation of, I'm talking about the root causes. Well, guess what? There are 6 billion people in the world, and we're not going to fix every damn root cause, especially in Central America. So let's be clear about this. Root cause theory has nothing to do with what she and the Democrats want, which is, ha-ha, guess what? They want the border opened, okay? She even said something about, we have the capacity to allow for hope. Well, I don't know about you, but my capacity for hope is about 2 points below zero. And it's because we can't accept all of these people. It's overburdening those cities in Texas and the borders. In fact, someone mentioned that all of our cities are now border cities because they're shipping these people out. And that is a major problem. And I think we need to make sure we understand that. So, you know, for her to say things along, oh, root causes, forget about it. You're not going to solve the root causes. To a certain degree, Trump did have some success in the root cause, you know, business, because we helped those people down there, you know, get money and training to actually go after the MS-13, the gangs, and all the rest of that stuff. But you're talking about something which is systemic down there, and we are not going to solve it. What we need to do is make sure that border is closed. Well, guess what? A Harvard, of all places, poll came out and said 80% of the people in the United States believe that there is a crisis with immigration. Of course. I mean, you'd have to be blind and deaf not to figure that out. Okay?
And where are the immigrants going?
They're going everywhere. Okay?
I have video of a listener friend who sent this to me yesterday. They were at the Burris Farm Market in Locksley, where a yellow bus with a paper white Florida tag pulled up, and approximately 40 20-year-old Hispanic men got off the bus and walked to the shopping center next door to the laundromat. They all had little knapsacks with them,
yeah,
and proceeded to the laundromat.
Did they get back on the bus?
In a school bus with a Florida tag.
Did they get back on the bus and go somewhere?
She didn't stay that long to find out. But my first call was going to be to our Baldwin County Legislative Office. The second was going to be to Sheriff Hoss Mack to find out.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's exactly it. Well, I mean, here we are. You know, we've been pretty much free of all this. But let's face it, when you have catch and release, they're putting all these people into the middle of the country. The pandemic issue doesn't matter to them, so they could theoretically be spreading, you know, COVID. That doesn't matter. All I'm saying to you here is that this is what the Democrats want, okay? So buckle up your chin strap and just get ready for more of it until something happens down there that changes it. The second thing I want to talk about really is this whole question about whether or not there's a way for us to deal with China, okay? This is going to be the 100th anniversary of the forming of the Communist Chinese Party, okay? Understand that from the perspective of many people, China is the model for going forward because of their success that they've been able to have economically. Now, I've mentioned this before. Deng Xiaoping, you know, began this in the late 70s, 78, 79 with his four reforms, okay? But those four reforms did not touch on the central question of who was going to be in power, okay? Tiananmen Square was a revolt against the party power. And you saw what happened there. And that is a major issue because the Communist Party, after Tiananmen Square, became extremely scared of the people. And so they shut down any kind of dissent. Their ability to shut down dissent is beyond what most people understand. And I think that you're seeing elements of it in how they're shutting down dissent in Hong Kong. That's the tip of the iceberg, okay? The tip of the iceberg. My point here is that the Communist Party is selling itself to the Chinese people along the lines of, look, you may not be able to vote for us, you may not have so, quote, Western freedom, but look at how prosperous you are. Look at how far this Communist Party has taken us. We are no longer the sick man of Asia. We no longer have to worry about foreign intervention. Okay? And you can go through the historical, you know, listing of all the things that they had to deal with. So the grand bargain that the party is essentially, you know, holding on to is that the 92 million people who are members of the party in a 1.6 billion, you know, people country is that prosperity will keep the masses quiet, okay? And so keep this in mind. Notice how what I just said, 92 million people are part of the Communist Party. That's it. They are not voted on. It's self-selected. I mean, does this sound like a feudal aristocracy? You bet it does. Does it sound like something that our progressives here want? Well, let's put it this way. If you are a Marxist, like BLM is, and you're pushing all of this equity business, which essentially says, you know, merit is bad, we all have to have the same outcome. Well, just look at the Chinese model, and that's what you're going to get. That's abhorrent to us. And as Americans, and as part of a constitutional tradition that embraces God-given rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, we say they can pack that crap up and go back to goddamn China, okay? Excuse me. Uh-oh. Lori just got worried here. She's going to get FEC fine on her, FCC. All right, so that's it. You know, this is what they're selling here. Now, that's a nice little segue to critical race theory. This past Saturday, up in Birmingham, the Republican women of Shelby County, led by Dr. Robin Leidecker, who you remember, I've had her on the program before. She's run for office. Dr. Leidecker spoke about Common Core, where we are with Common Core. It's part and parcel of what I've been telling you about for the last 4 months. She has been part of a team that has finally gotten to the point where Terry Lathan, who has led our team, she's at the gates. Terry Lathan has got to get to the governor to become the fifth vote against Common Core. And that's going to start with getting rid of Common Core math, and then we'll just roll up the rest of it. But the point here is that once Dr. Leidecker was finished talking about Common Core, then we got into a very good discussion of critical race theory, starting with Becky Gerritsen, the director of the executive director of Eagle Forum. Becky had a slideshow which discussed what common critical race theory is, all right? And basically what it is an attempt to use to label everyone who is white as a racist. Now, I've mentioned this to you all before. There's nothing new about it. But in doing this, what you're doing is undermining the social and political revolution that I've talked to you all extensively about, that Dr. King engineered. And that social and political revolution was based on some fundamental issues. Number one, don't judge people on the basis of the color of their skin, but on the basis of their character. Translated into this, you have constitutional protections in the 13th and 14th Amendments. You've got the Civil Rights Act. You've got the Voting Rights Act. All of those things are anti-discriminatory, okay? And that means for these people now to argue that race, in order to be anti-racist, you have to be racist using reverse racism. Now think about this. I mean, this is just absolutely backwards. All we're doing is creating the seeds for our final destruction, because this multiracial system that we have has to be based on what we have already accomplished. Now, if you're not happy with the accomplishments of the post-64-65 revolutions, then do something about them. Don't just sit around and say, well, it's all about white supremacy. Again, the argument that I used Saturday, if we have white supremacy, how do you explain, you know, in 1960, about 1,000 black officials were elected, and now it's over 12,000. How do you explain a black president elected twice? Who elected him? Not the minority black population, okay? So this whole question, and I'm not going to go through the whole litany of things I've explained before, but the whole question of white supremacy and systemic racism falls apart on the merits of just looking out there and seeing what you see. 17% of all marriages are interracial. Do you think about that? How do you have interracial marriages if we're all racist? I want to use a bad word, okay? And I won't.
Please not again.
She's gonna cut me off. But I'm just telling you, to think that this critical race theory explains anything is a joke, okay? Just think about this. A social and political revolution that has been created over the last 56 years, and we're going to wash it down the drain because the BLM people, who are Marxist, and take a look at this. I mean, there's nothing different about what the BLM wants than to see what the Chinese have done. 92 million Chinese Communist Party members, they rule the rest of them. Take it, guys. You can't do anything about that. Well, this is what BLM wants. I mean, the one of the BLM leaders went ahead and took all of these monies from business and all like that, and she buys three houses in white neighborhoods. I mean, do you see the hypocrisy of this? I mean, look, it's beyond hypocrisy. It's just such BS. I don't even want to talk about it anymore, okay?
I think you've been saved by the bell.
Yes, I think Jim Ziegler is calling in. So what I'm saying here, guys, is that CRT cannot be adopted. We are fighting it. Part of what we're doing with the our conference was to organize teams, biracial teams, and we had biracial folks there at this meeting, and they all came forward and said, yes, we are going to be able to move against critical race theory and make sure that these county boards of education, along with our state board of education, are absolutely opposed to it. And that's the task ahead of us, and that's what we're going to be doing in July, going to see all of these county boards in the state and make sure that they sign resolutions and enforce them against critical race theory.
You have two now, Common Core and critical race theory.
That's exactly it. All right. Now, so my guest speaker, the state auditor, better known as the state agitator, Jim Ziegler, is on the line. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Jim. You are on the air. Can you hear us okay?
Yes, yes. Good morning, Dr. Lou and Laurie DuBose, and thank you for having me on the Conservative Watchdog.
Well, I might be the watchdog, but you're the agitator, and we need both, I think, for sure, okay? Well, listen, Jim, I know that last Monday you came to our planning committee meeting and had a major announcement. Why don't we talk a little bit about that and then get into the details of what you see on the political horizon and how we want to move against Governor Ivey. And listen, I've said this before to people here. I will not vote for her. I won't vote for a Democrat, but I am not voting for her. And I certainly hope that we have an alternative to run against her.
Isn't that going to be you, Jim?
Well, we'll see. Let's let Jim say something. Jim.
Well, a week ago today, I announced an exploratory committee for governor. And I was blessed to make the announcement at the Common Sense campaign. We had a full house on the causeway at the original Oyster House. It was very fitting to make the announcement at a group named Common Sense. When Governor Ivey tried to put a toll bridge over Mobile Bay, the plan did not make common sense, not at all. And I was blessed to lead the successful movement that blocked that 2019 plan.
Exactly.
When Governor Ivey tried to push through Amendment 1, that would have abolished the right to vote for school board members and have them all appointed by her, my wife and I were blessed to lead the statewide effort to vote no on Amendment 1 15 months ago. And we got 75% no vote on that. That should have sent a message, but they don't listen in Montgomery.
Exactly.
And then, within the last 6 weeks, I was one of the leaders that helped block the Ivey prison rental scheme. It was an irresponsible scheme that would have had the state paying three times too much to build three giant prisons and then own no equity in the prisons at the end of 30 years of rental. And everything about the program made no common sense. So when I said that I'm glad to be making the announcement at the Common Sense campaign and that I hope common sense would be an issue in the governor's race, asked for the support of the individuals there, it had a ring to it, a ring of truth.
I think you're absolutely right about that, Jim, and I think that the common sense part of this, you know, goes beyond just the things that you've mentioned. I mean, we've had this gas tax, which she imposed without even talking about it during her election. You've got the gambling bill, which failed, but she is pushing gambling. And again, the last time I looked, there are a lot of people in Alabama that don't want gambling. And I think that the question about lotteries is one thing, whereas gambling and the whole edifice of a gaming commission running things like Las Vegas East, you know, that's something which I think people are going to, you know, think twice about. I will say this too, and I think this is a major failure on her part, which very little gets noticed, or let's put it this way, very few people talk about it, but we are now last in the NAEP, your national assessment, okay, in math, 52 and 48 in ELA. Under her watch, Jim, this is to my way of thinking, if you can start talking about the educational failure along with everything else, you've got a campaign that is based on not just the common sense, but on the failure of someone who proclaims that she's a high stepper. I'd like to see how that high stepping stuff will stand up in a debate with you on some of these issues.
We're able to put the exploratory campaign together, and so far I'm very encouraged, then I will at the proper time challenge her to a debate. one of the reasons that we're in the mess we're in right now, living under the Ivey administration, is she refused to debate. She would not debate any of the Republican candidates or the Democrat candidates in the 2018 elections. Right. So we did not know that right after she got elected that she would sneak a gas tax increase into a special session and ram it through. We didn't know that in the campaign. She wouldn't debate. And we did not know that she was going to put a toll bridge on Mobile Bay, and that they considered that a done deal. Well, we, the people, showed them it was a dead deal. She didn't debate. And at the proper time, I'll challenge her to a debate and see if we can get one this time.
Well, I think that that's certainly a necessity, but I think that she's not going to be able to just walk away from it this time, because the long laundry list of failures has to be answered. And I do think that it's important to highlight those kinds of things, and you'll be able to do that. You know, Jim, I think we've talked about this before. The fact of the matter is you've got grassroots support through the Alabama Federation of Republic Women, through the Alabama Conservative Coalition, and other groups like that, so that you were the voice of opposition against the gas tax, because we were able to raise enough money to put you on radio stations throughout the state against that gas tax. And the same thing with the Amendment 1. So when we say grassroots, you already are well-known and respected, and I think will be listened to when you... I say when, because I'm confident that you will run, but that she is vulnerable, despite what people, all of the pundits, are saying. Oh, she's just untouchable. Why don't you just talk a little bit about that in terms of what your assessment of how untouchable she is really is?
Well, this is all going to come out in the campaign, and one interesting thing that's happening is that honest state employees, and there are a lot of them, and retired state employees are getting in touch with me and my people and telling us things that we would not otherwise know about what's actually going on behind closed doors in the Ivey administration. And we think this is going to be the most issue-oriented campaign that there's ever done. That's what it's supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be about who runs the most and the slickest TV ads, and yes, Lori DuBose, radio ads. It's supposed to be about the issues. Who tried to ram the toll bridge through? Who blocked the toll bridge? Who tried to ram the gas tax through and did? Who came up with an alternative infrastructure plan with no gas tax? And that was Jim Ziegler. So on each of these issues, it's going to be a clear-cut choice.
Let's talk a little bit about the economy. I know that the latest unemployment rate is, I think, 3.4. It went down from 3.6 in May. There is an interesting argument here that people are satisfied with her because she's pragmatic, and all of this is working to her advantage. Yet, there are still pockets of problems here, as I suggested to you, education. I know the Democrats are really aiming at, health care, things like that. Now, we don't necessarily have to adopt the Democrats' position on this, but it seems to me that questions about the economy go hand in hand with the Trump economy. Now, I did some checking on it. In January of 2020, before the pandemic, the economy here, the unemployment rate was at 2.6 or 7%. So she has done well because of Trump, I would argue. But I think questions about, where the economy could go, how it can be improved, are issues that you might think carefully about. And I'd like to just hear a couple of your ideas about continuing the economic boom that Trump started here.
One thing that we see happening is there are still people who are not working. They're being paid more or almost as much to stay home as they would be to work. Now, that is a systemic problem that can be solved. And it may be that the employment rate in Alabama could go close to zero if we would stop some of these social engineering programs designed to incentivize people not working. Now, another thing is these incentive programs for out-of-state businesses to come into Alabama and open up operations here. That is good to a point, but you have to be smart about that. You can't give away too much. Pay more for the jobs and the new industry than what it's worth to the state. And you've got to, again, use common sense with the economic development programs, not just have wide open to anybody in California that's got a business plan, they can come to Alabama and get millions of taxpayer incentive. We're going to do a smarter, more common sense job.
Well, I think that this has always been categorized as a race to the bottom between these states to see who can incentivize these folks to come. And I do think that that's, you know, a major issue that needs to be looked into. But the workforce development question is also tied into this, and that takes me right back to education. I mean, I do not understand how the workforce development people in this state cannot see the failure of Common Core, and that needs to be a major issue in terms of trying to lure people here. Why would anyone want to come to Baldwin County to their mega site when the north part of Baldwin County has one of the worst educational systems around?
Well, that's where the common sense has to come in. For years, there were just Wild West type development in Baldwin County and other places, and we can pick and choose now. There's been so much development, and there still is. We can get quality development, a quality of lifestyle, well-paying jobs, things that do not disrupt the quality of life. And that is that common sense that has not been included in the Ivey administration.
Let me ask you one last thing. This is, you know, one of the things that we've seen with the pandemic and other progressive attacks on individual freedom, gun rights, and things like that. It seems like the legislature had an opportunity to protect constitutional rights but didn't. As governor, how would you handle protecting our individual rights?
That is a very vital question. It's not being addressed now by the legislature or by the governor's office. And I intend during the campaign to set up a citizen advisory committee to take problems such as that and come up with not just one panacea, one cure-all. I don't believe there is any one step you can take, but a common sense set of incremental steps that can mitigate that problem. Maybe you can't do away with it, but you can sure mitigate it with a series of common sense steps.
Yeah, I completely agree, Jim, and I think that, you know, reaching out to the public to do those kinds of things, you know, in any form or fashion is something which I think will garner you a lot of support.
We lost the connection somehow.
What happened? Okay.
I have no idea.
You want to just call him back real quick?
I will.
656.
I am sorry, but that's not a valid excuse.
Okay, we'll just continue your conversation, and I'll try to get him back up.
All right. So, well, actually, I'm going to play Lori here. It's time.
It is 29. See?
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that we lost the connection with Jim Ziegler, okay? But I want you all to understand that here's an individual who has a proven track record, two statewide elections that won him the state auditor's job. And with that position, he not only did a great job as state auditor, despite the fact that the establishment hated him so much that they have cut his budget every year for the past 4 years to pay him back for doing what every politician should do, which is to call out corruption and go after those people who are on the wrong path, the wrong track. That's only common sense, I would say. But, you know, common sense doesn't necessarily prevail when the establishment hates you, as Trump saw. Okay, let's be clear about this. We want to give back the House to and the Senate to the Republicans because they're going to save us. Okay, and I hope they do. But you know what? History tells us that we did that in 2010. We gave them the House in a major way. And then in 2014, we gave them the Senate to stop Obama. They did not do it. They won't do it. They are too wedded to a certain philosophy that essentially is probably creeping socialism rather than galloping socialism, as you see with your progressive friends, AOC, Tlaib, that crowd. That's what those people want. We better damn well be ready to stop them, and we need to start stopping people like them at the local and state levels. That's why having a governor like a DeSantis, like an Abbott in Texas, is so important. And we can get one like them with Jim Ziegler. Okay, so let's just keep our powder dry. We'll see where all this goes with Jim, with his exploratory committee. We'll see how it happens. But I guarantee you, without someone like Jim Ziegler in the governor's seat, you're going to get another 4 years of rhinoism and a lot of no common sense. That's for sure. So Laurie has been kind enough to let me rant here for a few extra minutes. I appreciate that. We will see you back on the 5th of July, right after the 4th of July, our great Independence Day. So looking forward to having everyone have a great 4th of July. Celebrate our independence. Celebrate your ability to be independent. And tell these people who want to take away your freedom, just go to hell fast. Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lou. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review. This is a paid-for program by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with a state-of-the-art car wash. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or station management. If you missed the show, you can listen to it later at WABF1480.com.